weeks. God has blessed us immensely. He truly has. He's blessed us with people. He's blessed us with this building. He's blessed us with the freedoms that we have. He's also blessed us with faith. You know, without God, you can't have faith that He calls you and saving faith. You can have faith in a lot of stuff, amen, but there's only one kind of faith that's going to please God.
Amen.
We're going to talk about that kind of faith today, amen. The faith that pleases God. The faith that pleases God, we're going to see, don't know what it was. That's still there. I hate it when that happens. You just get a thing in your mouth, you're talking, it's flopping around between your gums and stuff. The faith that...
Sorry.
Welcome to Charity Bible. This is a real church here, folks. And so, the faith that pleases God will teach us to rely on His ability, not ours.
Amen?
The faith that pleases God will call us out of our comfort zone and into the danger zone.
Amen.
The faith that really pleases God demands obedience. If you don't obey Him, you don't have faith in Him. All right? And the faith that pleases God requires total trust in the God that has called you. And the faith that pleases God is a faith that does not quit. Amen? And we're going to be talking about that this morning. And which is finishing out the sermon that I started like 10 weeks ago. I think it's like 10 years ago, I guess, because I don't change sermons, I just change the titles, right? And so the faith that pleases God. Last week we started looking at this question that Jesus posed in Matthew 24 and verse 45. And He said in that place, just as a reminder, who then is a faithful and wise servant? You've got to put yourself in that mindset. Who is the faithful and the wise servant? Jesus goes on and answers His own question later in that same chapter, in the next verse, in fact. Jesus says, blessed or joyful is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. All right? And the faithful and wise servant is the one that's going to be doing what he was called to do when the Lord returns. Not the ones that quit doing what the Lord called them to do. That's not the faithful and the wise servant. The faithful and the wise servant is the one who has a job from God and he's faithfully working that out. All right? This isn't talking about your salvation. This is talking about your faithfulness to the God who called you.
Amen.
And this wise servant is the one that is actively seeking to please God in every aspect of his life. He's not turning back to the old ways, the drunkenness and the revelries that he used to be, but he's living in a prayerful obedience to who God is. Amen. God loves you, and he wants you to know him in a deep, personal way. And the way we get to know God better is as we walk with him. Amen. As we live by faith, as we do the things that God has called us to. Now, He already knows us inside and out, right? Now, that means that if I'm going to learn anything about God, that means I need to do a couple things. Put the Word of God in my heart, right, by reading it, studying it, and applying it. And then loving others the same way that He loves me.
Amen.
See, it's not merely enough to say that I have faith without works. I need to have the works that proves that I know God.
Amen.
And not to me or to him, but to the ones who are around me. See, if your sister or your brother comes to you naked and destitute of food, and they ask, and you say, oh, brother, I'll pray for you. God will touch that. Don't worry about it. I love you. See you. No. You've got to meet them in the middle of their need. If they're naked, you clothe them. If they're hungry, you feed them. Right? If they're in a need of something, you tend to that. God sent them to you, faithful and wise servant. Often we come to that place where we're really needed or God is really needed in an individual's life. And we say, well, you know, I'd love to, but I'm too busy. I'd love to, but you know, my will is greater than God's will. So I'm going to do my will today and not God's will. Let me warn you, that's not being faithful. And Lord knows that's not being wise.
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing in this world here that is calculable, acceptable, where it's worthy of what we will receive. There's nothing that we're holding on to that's worth what we might receive from the Lord in due time. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about a lot of people, and we'll be in this for a little bit. I'm not going to go over it line by line, but I am going to hit on some individuals. Now, to understand faith, it starts out, faith, right in the very beginning, Hebrews 11 and verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report." Obtaining a good report through faith. All right? Obtaining it, to gather it, to get it. All right? When I stand before God, I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." All right? And to do that, I need to walk in obedience to what God has called me to. We're going to run through some of these guys real quick. It says, by faith, verse 4, Abel. All right? By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah also, or also Sarah. Right? We see these individuals that God is talking about, and he's through. He said, because they believed me enough to do what I told them to, they are counted righteous. Right? Abraham believed God, it was accounted as righteousness unto him. He had faith enough. See, for faith, we understand that the worlds are framed, back in verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. Now, scientists or school teachers will tell you that two big rocks, like big clackers, y'all ever play with those clackers? Right? That was so good, I could clack them on both sides. Click, 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 click. But anyhow, they're telling us that there's these two rocks, clackers, out in the middle of space somewhere. I don't know how they got there, but they're on the vacuum of space. And they were flying along at supersonic speeds. They crashed into one another. All right? Well, the Bible says, no, that's not how it worked. Who are you going to believe? All right? You're going to believe the Bible, that the world, everything that we know, were spoken into existence by a God who loves you. By a God who says, "I want you to know me." By a God who says he took out of his fingertips and he flicked the stars into place. That God says that this is how I made it. Now, scientists say that this weird thing happened and to a big explosion and all this. Has anybody ever blown up stuff? I have blown up stuff. I've blown up a lot of stuff. Because I like things that go boom. And the bigger they go boom, the more I like it. Right? But I've never blown up something and saw it come together. You know? I've never taken something. I used to build these model airplanes and cars and stuff. And I put M80s in there. Y'all remember M80s? You stuff and pull a couple of M80s. You light that thing, it goes boom. It blows up. It took hours to put it together. And just a second to blow it apart. Right? I never stuck an M80 in there and boom, and it made something else. Yeah, except for mess. Fun. It made fun. So we know that science often is wrong, especially if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Now, science is good if it lines up with God's Word, but when science doesn't line up with God's Word, you've got to make a choice. Do you believe by faith or do you believe by science? All right? I don't know about y'all, but I know science lies to me. It changes all the time. And the Word of God is the same. How long? Yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. So if something never changes, then you know that you can have faith in it, right? Because it doesn't change. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. It does not. It is Christ's embodiment in the Word. See, by faith, Abel, he offered up a more excellent sacrifice. He said, "I know what God demands of me, and that's what I'm going to do." Right? Do you know what God is demanding of you as a child of God, as a Christian in 2020? Do you know that he's still asking us to work by faith and not by sight? Amen. Do you know that we are justified by faith and not of works? Do you know that we're justified and filled fully in the obedience that we have with God? Amen? Amen. Now, Jesus paid the price for your sin on the cross at Calvary. Amen? He paid for how much of it? All of it. But since he paid all of it, do we owe anything? I owe my obedience to Him. I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything that I am. I owe Him everything that I'll ever be. Now, what I owe Him won't repay the price, right? But because He saved me, because He called us out of darkness into His glorious light, because while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, by faith, I know He has done that, and now I'm going to obey Him. Abraham was justified by his obedience. Amen? Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, talking about Abraham and his faith that he has. He staggered not at the promise of God. Right? He staggered not. All right? Paul talking about Abraham, the father of faith. Right? Abraham believed God that was counted unto him as righteousness. He was right simply because he believed. Now think of Abraham and his life. God said, hey, Abraham, get up and get out of your father's country. Get out from your father's house and your country, and I'll bring you to a land that I'll show you. It took faith to pack that camel that night. Right? It took faith. Years later, Sarah, 99 years old, way past childbearing, they were both spitting dust. There was no way that they could make babies. Right? And God said, listen, you need to know your wife Sarah, and you will bear a son. The promised seed will still come. Abraham, 100, she is 99. So they knew each other that evening. 9 months later, guess what happened? Faith became sight. Amen? They believed God. Years after that, God said, take your son, your only son, the son that you love, and go sacrifice him on a mountain that I'll show you. Abraham, through faith, brought his son. Now, don't think of him as a little tyke. In my Sunday school books, right, I went, he's always this little short dude, right? Now, remember, he's big enough to carry all the sticks for the sacrifice, so he's not like some 7-year-old kid. This was a grown man, big enough to take his daddy out if he needed to, right? To fit the picture of Christ being sacrificed, he needed to be about 33 years old. All right? To fit the picture. So imagine this. Old man, 120 years old. Hey, sonny, come up the hill. I'm going to kill you today. Right? In fact, I'm too tired. You carry the sticks. That son, through obedience, carried the sticks. Jesus, through obedience, carried the cross. Right? By faith, they were made just. Right? By faith, they walked. It continues saying there, and Abraham, he struggled not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that he who had promised was able to perform it. Amen? He who promised you is able to perform it. You cannot do it on your own, and the only way that you can achieve what God has called you to is you must walk by faith.
Amen.
Because God's never going to call you into a comfort zone. He's never going to call you to where you sit down in your pew and that's all you do. Right? He's never going to call you to be, well, I trust God as my Savior and I'm going to set my little cocoon. I'm safe here. I'm going to live in the safe zone. No, Jesus saved you that you would go into a world that will persecute you, that will hate you for righteousness' sake, to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord to people who will not accept it. All right? And it takes faith to walk and do those things. It takes faith. Remember Noah. He built an ark. Right? And God said to him, hey, Noah, go for wood. He said, build an ark out of gopher wood. If there's a mistranslation of the King James Bible, I think that's what it is. It was actually, hey, Noah, build an ark, now gopher wood. Anyhow, that's a really sad joke. That's my only shot at humor today, I'll quit. And so, but Noah, through faith, started building this ark. Now, he knew that that ark was going to be the salvation for anyone who would believe. Anyone who would believe, it would be a place that they could come in and go through the judgment of God. Because God said, my soul will not always dwell with men. And in 120 years, I'm going to wipe them out. Right? So Noah started building the ark. Every day, He was out near the building of the ark. And his work was preaching the judgment to people. Hey, folks, I'm putting this ark together. It's never rained, but God said it's going to rain. Right? Although it's never rained, you got to believe me, folks. If you want to, you want to be saved with Christ, you need to walk by faith because you've never seen rain. God said it's going to rain. Right? So be prepared. Get ready to come into the ark. I'm building it, and if anybody will come in, they're welcome to. Well, they did not believe. God sent the animals that were supposed to come in, and Noah's children, his boys and their wives, do that. They believed that God's judgment was coming enough to do something about it. Now, what if Noah did not believe enough to go for wood and start building the ark? They would have died too. Right? But God sent exactly who needed. He gave them the faith to start making the ark, building the ark. And so through that faith, it says that they sojourned, they moved. Abraham, verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out of his place, that he should after receive the inheritance, obeyed. Right? The faith that pleases God calls us, demands obedience. Because if Abraham would have not obeyed, he wouldn't have had faith and he wouldn't have been called a friend of God. Right? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you want to be called my friend, obey my commandments. Right? If you want to be called my friend, who here wants to be a friend of Jesus? Then you better start doing what he told you to do.
Amen.
Because if you ain't doing what he told you to do, you might think that you'd be right. That you might think that you are. You see the southern coming out of me, right? It's squeezing out. You might think that you're right with the Lord, but if you're not obeying him, if you're not walking by faith, you're not. All
right?
And it's real plain and simple. Jesus didn't tell us to come and be comfortable. He told us to get up and get out of our Father's house and go to a land that I will show you. Start preparing. He called Noah and he said, hey, Noah, I want you to start doing something that is crazy. This is out of the world. This is going to blow your mind. Start gathering stuff. Start building this thing. Doesn't say that Noah knew how to build a boat. Don't know. I do know that God gave him the instructions and he did it.
Amen.
How about Moses? Moses, desiring to suffer with the children of God, he forsakes Pharaoh's house. Right? I would rather suffer with the righteous than be glorified in the unrighteousness.
Amen.
I would rather give everything that I have on this earth that I might know God in a real, personal, deep way. Now, as we go back and think about these, how many of those men were perfect? None of them. Moses was a murderer, right? He killed a man, an Egyptian, hit him in the sand. Went off to the backside of the desert for 40 years. Till God found him, he didn't find God. Guess this. Moses was just walking around tending sheep. Come on, you bad boys, right? And so they're just walking along. He's tending the sheep and he sees this burning bush up on the hill. He says, wow, that is so cool. It's burning. There's an illumination coming from this, but it's not being consumed. I got to go check it out. See, God puts that desire to go seek him out. God will put something in your face,
amen,
right? That says, do you really want to know me? Come closer to the burning bush. You want to know me? Come know who I am. And then he'll take and he'll kill who you were as you come to that burning bush. He'll say, shut the feet off, the soles off of your feet, because you're getting on holy ground.
Amen.
Take off the old things of this world. I would have took off my shoes, but y'all would have left. All right? Take off the things that are holding you back. Take off what might be stopping you from walking in faith. Get rid of that thing and stand in the holy ground. Right? And then he gives you a job to do that is way beyond what you can do. Moses, go back to Pharaoh's house. I can't talk. I can't. And God said, listen, I made your tongue, dude. I can make it talk right. Believe in me. Right? Go back to Pharaoh's house. Well, if I go back to Pharaoh's house, they're going to kill me. God didn't say that he wasn't going to kill him. Right? It doesn't matter if they kill you, you still got to go. Amen?
Amen?
When God calls you, there's no waiting. You go when he calls you. And he will perform for you. He will make you a tool valuable to him. a tool in the hands of the Most High God is better than anything on this planet, on this existence that we have. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me ask you, are you a faithful and wise servant? The one when the Father comes back, when Jesus comes back, will find that faithful and wise servant so doing what He has been called to do. Are we busy in the gospel? Right? Are we busy in the gospel? Or are we hiding in fear? Praise God that the government this week decided that it's okay for you to worship again. Did you hear what I said? Praise God that the government this week said that you can go back to church. You can go back and fellowship again. If you stay 6 feet apart and you wear rubber gloves, you got your breathing mask on.
They weren't talking to us.
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah, we, well, actually, though, and thank you, George, for that, but I've run down enough rabbit holes on my own. So, anyhow, yeah, they, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. All right? The faithful servant is the one that is doing the things that God called him to do when he comes. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I know that he's closer today than he was yesterday.
Yeah, sure.
All right? I don't know the hour. I don't know the day. I can't tell you what's going to happen or when it's going to happen. What I do know is he promised to come. And when he comes, I don't want to be found with my face mask on, sitting in my mama's basement, waiting for a sunny day.
Amen.
All right? I want to be found in the trenches. I want to be found serving. I want to be found loving. I want to be found filled with compassion. I want to be found as the one he would say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and not the one who says, "Ah, you dirty rat, you." Paraphrase. In that, even in that thought, Jesus talked in the parable of the talents. Now we know the physical talents was a form of money. It was a lot of money. And so the master had three servants that he is dealing with particularly. And he says, "All right, servant one, I'm going to give you so many talents. Servant two, I'm going to give you so many talents. Servant three, I'm going to give you so many talents." As they had ability, all right, as they... to their own ability. So the one who was only able to handle one talent, he didn't give him five. He just gave him one. Because God knows your talent. He knows what you're able to do. He knows how you can work. That's why God doesn't make me rich. You know, he keeps me poor, right? Because he knows I will not handle it well. If I become super wealthy, who's that? See, I'm chasing a rabbit right now. Thank you. I'll look at you and say, "Gotta stop that." So that part doesn't matter. God doesn't let me have more than what I can handle. All right? What I would be faithful with, not what I can handle, because whatever He gives us, we can't handle in and of ourselves. Right? I need Jesus in me. I need to be faithful to the call that He's called us to. So those three guys with three talents, two invested the talents that God had given them, and He said, "Well done, my good and faithful servants. Come into the joy of the Lord." All right? Who here wants to hear that?
Amen.
What you doing with what God gave you? All right? You got a time before the Father comes back. You got a time before Jesus comes back. You need to be applying what God has given you, investing it in somebody else's life.
Amen.
Because there's still one servant we haven't talked about. The servant who was moved by fear and not by faith. The one who says, "I know that you're a harsh man." Do you know that God's a harsh man? That He is. We need to fear Him. That He's a just God. All right. That there's a terror in the Lord. That there's a. We ought to have a fear, a reverence, an awe. I tell you, if God tells you to do something, you need to do it.
Amen.
Don't take what God has given you and hide it under a rock, because that servant, he came back and he said, "Listen, servant. You were right about all the things you said." I'm paraphrasing here. "You were right about all the things you said, but since you didn't do at least the least of it by investing what I gave you, that I could come back and take what I gave you and at least have interest in it," he says that you were unfaithful, unjust servant. and he cast him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you'll hear one or two things, depending on how you live in faith. You will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in." Or you will hear, "You unjust, unprofitable servant, to hell with you." All right? Those are the two things that you're going to hear. You're either going to be in or out. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory here. Right? You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. Now, we think to be blessed by God means that we have all of the niceties of the world. I got cars, I got houses, I got air conditioning, I got padded seats to sit in. Ooh, I'm so blessed of God. But is that really the blessings of God?
No.
Does that mean that you're faithful or you're not faithful? In Hebrews again, chapter 35 and B, the latter part of that, says that others were tortured. I'll start at the beginning of the verse. He talks about all of the subduing of the kingdoms. He talks about all of the great victories that you can have in Christ Jesus. You can see your dead raised to life again. But others, he says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know, to be a Christian, you may not, to be a faithful servant of God, you may not receive blessings on this earth. You might not have everything that you need. You might go hungry. You very well might not have a house to live in, but that doesn't mean that you're not faithful, and it doesn't mean that you won't receive a blessing in due time, right? And they refused to be, they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, and moreover, in bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, cut in two, yeah, tempted, and they were slain with the sword. And they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tortured, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert places and mountains, in the dens and the caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, all right, they still didn't receive the promise. All right? That's okay. Just because you're living and you don't receive the promise doesn't mean the promise ain't coming to you.
Amen.
You might have to die in your poverty. You might have to be taken out of the way. You may have to go to prison for preaching the gospel. You might be laughed at and scorned at and hated for the gospel's sake. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, "Know this, that if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you." Are you prepared to go through some hard times for the glory to come? Right? Jesus said he suffered the cross. He suffered the cross for the glory that was going to come. And for you guys, he went to the cross. What are we willing to do for our neighbor? What are we willing to do for the least of these? Again, there's another parable that Jesus talked about in the same place about the sheep and the goats, right? The dividing. He put the sheep on his right, he put the goats on his left. The sheep, he said, "Enter into my kingdom." The goats, he said, "No." Now, how did the people enter into the kingdom? By caring for the least of these. When I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was naked, you tended to me. When I was in jail, in prison, you came and you visited me. That's what Jesus said. The ones who did not live in their faith were cast out. The ones who knew about what to do and didn't do it. The ones who had a relationship, had received the goodness of God, and they didn't give it back to anybody else. They stuck it in their pocket. Said, "Boy, I'm so blessed. Look at what's in my pocket. I would rather go to the Lord with empty pockets." Right?
Amen.
Empty pockets. I ain't got nothing on this earth. I gave it all away while I was here. Because when I get there, he'll fill my pockets back up.
Amen.
Amen. And it may not be with money. It may not be with cash. I tell you what, it will be with the love of the Father. It will be with the presence of the Most High God. With a fellowship that goes way beyond belief. That's what I'm looking for. I'm seeking for a kingdom. A kingdom made without hands. Church, what are you looking for? Are you looking for the temporal things of this earth? Are you looking for the eternal things that only come from Christ? These things that God has called us to, this relying on His ability, calling us out of our comfort zone, demanding obedience, requiring total trust in Him. These are this is the type of faith that God is looking for in you.
Amen.
Right? He doesn't want just people who say, on your mark, you say, go, and you go, and you quit halfway through. We are not those who fall back into perdition. Hebrews 10:38-39. Go back there real quick. Yeah. 39. But we are not them who draw back into perdition, into destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Right? So relying on God, not just in the beginning, not just in the middle, but all the way to the end. All right? Not just in the good times, but in the bad times. Not just in the blessings, but in the struggles of this life. Praise God for the struggles of this life. I like having to struggle, because I only get stronger as I struggle. Right? You don't get stronger on the mountaintop, you get stronger in the valley. Right? You get stronger in the hard times. You get stronger when you don't have anything to give and you give it anyhow. You get stronger when your neighbor needs something and you give it even if you don't like that rascal. Right? Because you're called to love them, not necessarily like them. Amen. There's a lot of folks I'm called to love and I don't like. Amen. I don't like them as people. I don't like what they believe. But God said I need to love them the way that they are. Alright? I can't fix you. I'm not Curtis, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fixes people. We're called to love people in the middle of the mess. We're called to minister to people, serve people. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Over and over again in the Word of God. And walking by faith and not by sight means I must rely on His ability. A blind person in a strange city, they need somebody with eyes that can see. Right? And they need them to lead them, to guide them. It calls us out of our comfort zone, right? That deep faith that brings me out of something that I'm comfortable with. Because it's cool just to hang out in the house, read your Bible personally, right? Maybe tell somebody in the yard sign, I got yard signs, my yard, okay. Yard sign tells you to trust Jesus. But if I don't get on the sidewalk, right, and just rely, there's no reward in me having a yard sign.
Right.
All right, there's no good thing. And don't get me wrong, handing out tracts is wonderful. I'm glad that we do it. But not only hand out tracts, because they don't need your translation. They don't need a tract. They need God in the flesh. They need compassion. They need love. They need mercy. Now, they definitely can get that from God, but the first they need to do is get it from you. Because how will they know God unless you show it to them? How is the lost going to understand the mercies and the grace and the depths of God's love if we don't love in those same depths? Oh, the faith that pleases God. The faith that pleases God kills me, right? The faith that really pleases God means that Curtis Fitz has got to crucify his flesh daily. I don't do what I want to do anymore. I only do what I see the Father doing. That's what Jesus said. I only do what I see the Father doing. And when I see the Father doing it, I adjust my life to whatever He's doing. That He might be glorified. It's all about glorifying the Father in the fullness of His grace. Romans 4:21, we already went over that. How about John the Baptizer when he was born? Elizabeth, she was way too old to have children. All right? And her husband couldn't even sweet talk her that night. Because God had already shut his mouth. You ain't going to say nothing to her. You know. And then that child was born. Amen? And they named him John. There's nobody named John. They all did that by faith. And look at how God used John. Oh, he used him mightily. Kept him in camel's clothes. All right? Girded. Had him a big, long, stringy beard filled with grasshopper guts and honey. All right? Now think about that. Did you go to see some spit-shine, polished preacher? Is that why you went to John the Baptizer? No, you went to him because he was preaching the truth to faith.
Amen.
You went to him because he was pointing to the Savior, not to himself.
Right.
Had a camel hair suit, only it was like a loincloth. No, it was way different than what we think. I truly believe that our faith is different what we might think it looks like.
That's right.
Our faith might be in our poverty. Our faith is definitely in our persecution. Because anybody can stand on easy street. Right?
True.
But when you get down in the gutter, when you go to people where that they don't like you, they don't want to listen to you, and they definitely don't love the Lord. Hello? I'll answer that. As a Google phone, man, and you got to take those, smash them with a hammer.
Yeah,
absolutely. Living outside of that comfort zone, if Abraham would have just stayed in his family's, in his family's house, if Moses would have not gone back to Egypt, it was comfortable where Moses was on the backside of the desert. I mean, he had a life, he had a family, he was living with his daddy-in-law. Anybody ever live with your parents? You know, we pass long enough. It gets real comfortable in there, right? So God's saying, listen, he had to get out of his comfort zone. Peter, when after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, Peter decided to go back to his old way of life, right? He went back fishing. And then Jesus met them on the shore. And when Peter jumped in and swam up, y'all know the account. Jesus said, get uncomfortable and go and feed my sheep. Wait, I'm really a good fisherman. I don't care if you're a good fisherman. Feed my sheep. If you love me, go feed my lambs. If you, well, you know, I'm real fond of you, Lord. You're your buddy, man. Remember you helped me catch fish before? Hey, you just did? Hey. But God said, no, I want you to leave that and follow me. Paul, another great example. Very comfortable being a Sadducee. Very comfortable being in his religious outline. And he was really good at it. In fact, he was persecuting the church. And then God knocked him off of his donkey, blinded him, set him in the street called straight. Talked to a man called Ananias after Paul had been in that situation for 3 days. And he said, hey, Ananias, get up out of your comfort zone and go talk to Saul. He wasn't Paul then. Go to talk to Saul. You know what Ananias' answer was? But God, you know Saul has the letters to imprison me. God said, get out of your comfort zone, go lay hands on him, go pray for him. But God, this guy can kill me. Jesus didn't say that he couldn't kill him. He said, get out of your comfort zone and go and do that. Paul had to go into the synagogues, right? And preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that didn't want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. His faith said go. He could not stay. Here's a little tidbit. You cannot stay where you are and go with God.
Amen.
God's always on the move. He's always moving. He's always seeking the unrighteous. He's always seeking to put His Spirit in those who don't know Him. And He's waiting for us, the church, to get out of our pews and live by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Amen? It's time that the church arise. It's time for us to get out of the closet, to borrow a free phrase back from the 80s for a different group of people. All right? It's time for the church to awaken. I don't know how long we got. I really don't. But I do know that Jesus is coming back. I do know that the one who wants to call us, who is the good and faithful servant, that King is coming again. That Master is coming again, and we will be held accountable. Now, which side do you want to be on? See, what you do next will reveal what you really believe about God. Amen? The thing that the next spot, the next thought, the next thing that you do this afternoon, this next week, this next month, the next thing that you do that will reveal what you believe about God. If God tells you to go and you say, well, you know, they're driving around in circles really fast today and I can't leave. Vroom, vroom. Or they're chasing each other around with an oblong ball and I can't go because they're doing the ball thing today. Or I can't go because the government says I have got to stay inside and wear a mask. Mm-hmm. Who are we going to honor? Are we going to honor God or are we going to honor ourselves? Lord, I would love to go and feed the hungry, but I'm too fat to get out of my chair. Right? Amen, ain't it? It's a shame, but it's a fact. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. And I promise I'll stop. Now, I need to back up a little bit. Talking about us being set free from the way that we were. Verse 19 says, well, they promised them liberty. It's also good. I hate starting in the middle of it. All right? Yeah, so I'll let you know my struggles. All right? The whole of 2 Peter chapter 2, right? It talks about the difference of the false teachers that are coming and spreading in Judaism and all that kind of stuff, telling you that Sodom and Gomorrah, all those people were doing fine, all that kind of stuff. They which forsake the right way in verse 15, they've gone astray, falling after the way of Baal and Bozer, and they love the wages of unrighteousness, right? So he's talking about those people. And let me tell you who those people are. Us before Christ. Right? That was us before Christ. Before Christ, we went that way. But now that we're in Christ, we need to be having a new leap. Right? And so he says in verse 20 of 2 Peter, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and again entangled therein, and are overcome, I put R in there, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better if they had not known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog returned to his own vomit, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. Those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, stop walking by faith. Alright? That's who he's talking about. Those who hear the call of God and don't do anything with it. Those who have been born again, set apart, called by the righteousness of God. And they say, well, God, I would love to do. I would love to go. Remember when you first got saved and you said, here I am, Lord, send me? Yeah. Right? When's the last time you did that? Because he's still there, you're still here. Church, there's a job that needs to be done. It's a job bigger than what you can do. Have you ever heard that God will never give more to you than what you can stand?
Amen.
That's a false doctrine. God will always give you more than what you can do. Because he can get the glory, not you.
Amen.
Amen. He stretches you. He pulls you out of socket. He moves you from where it's comfortable, and he pulls you into the uncomfortable zone. He moves you from being a floor installer to a pastor. Right? Uncomfortable. He moves you from being an alcoholic to a street preacher. Uncomfortable. Right? But the rewards on the uncomfortable side way outweigh. They're more valuable to be uncomfortable than the comfort that you might have found value in the past. So the faith that pleases God comes down to a simple thing. Obey Him.
Amen.
Follow Him with the fullness of your life. Learn the Word of God. Apply it to your life.
Amen.
Don't trust anything that's outside of this. The government will, has, and will continue to lie to you. That's what they do. All right?
Amen.
The scientists have lied to you, they will lie to you, and they're lying to you right now.
Yeah.
Right? So don't believe them. Believe the Word of God. follow the Holy Spirit that indwells you, right?
Amen.
And don't turn back. Again, in Hebrews 39:10, we are not those who turn back to destruction. Or are you? It's still a question right there, right? You don't have to turn back to destruction, to perdition. You can walk by faith into the glory, or you can turn back to perdition. That's God doesn't take your free will away. But I tell you, there's a payment, there's a reward on both sides. You walk in faith, you will be rewarded with the righteousness of God, with the peace of God that goes way past understanding. You will have a comfort for your soul. You'll have just this confidence of your salvation. I mean, really confident. I know that I have a home. Not just because Jesus said it in one place, but because I have obeyed Him. And as I obey Him, I walk closer to Him. And the closer I get to Him, the more sure I am of Him.
Amen.
Right? Yes. And there's the other side of that that says, oh, I just do it every one. I'll follow you when it's convenient for me. If you're in that camp, you don't have any security. You really don't. You may be secure, but you don't know it because you're not walking with Him. His Word hasn't been a lamp to your path, to your feet, how you're walking, how you're living, how you're loving. See, the faith that pleases God demands of us so many things. Now, praise God for having faith for salvation, right? I praise God for John 3:16. I really do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I believed in you. I got faith for salvation. But how about faith for day-to-day life?
That's true.
All right? There's a faith that you can have that just sees you through.
Amen.
From day to day. In the middle of the storm, He'll calm the seas for you, right? You've got faith enough to call on Him when the storm's rising. Or do you think, I just need to row harder? You know? Oh, storm's here, I got to row harder, No, stop. Stop and abide, right? Take a deep breath. Trust God.
Amen.
And then move forward. So that's the kind of faith, as I see it through Scripture, that pleases God. Do you know that that's available for you? And you can have it all.
Amen.
You can have it all. All you got to do is rely on His ability. All right? Allow Him to call you out of your comfort zone. Right? And be comfortable in uncomfortableness. Right? Have you ever thought about that? Mm-hmm. The more you're uncomfortable and do stuff that's outside of your zone, the better off you are in it. Right? So be comfortable in your uncomfortableness. Obey His Word even if it doesn't sound right. Right? Alright, it doesn't sound right, but God said it, so it must be right. So whether it sounds right or whether I feel it or not doesn't matter. God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not doesn't matter. He said it. Obey it. All right? Don't got to be comfortable. And totally trust Him. You know, that kind of trust when you have a little bitty child on the edge of the diving board. Right? You're in the swimming pool. And you're saying, come here. Jump off, Sally. Jump off. Say, no, I'm scared. No, I'm scared. Jump off. Don't push her. Jump off. And when she has that faith, step off the end. That's the faith that God wants you to have.
Amen.
He says, I'll catch you when you fall. But you've got to step off. You've got to step off into the unknown. Trust me, I'll be there. Right? That kind of faith pleases God.
Blessed.
And that faith that does not quit. See, it's not the beginning of the race or the middle of the race. It's the end of the race we're looking for. It's when the Father returns. It's when Jesus returns. I want to be found faithful.
Amen.
On the day He comes.
Yes.
And I don't know when He's coming, so I make sure I'm faithful every day.
Amen.
Right? I don't know the hour, I don't know the day, but I do know is He is coming. And when He does come, we're going to give an account. Right? And you're going to hear, like I've already said, you'll hear one or two things. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Or you wicked, unfaithful servant, and he cast you out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." No two ways about it. Well, there are two ways about it, right or wrong, right? In or out.
Right. Amen.
Right? You're either in or out. So how do you make sure that you're in? Don't quit. Don't quit. You do what he tells you to every day, every moment. And when you fall short, who here fell short this week? Man, I did several times. You know what I did? I got myself up. I prayed. I dusted it off. And I moved forward.
Amen.
Right? I moved closer to the cross. I forgot those things that are behind, but I pressed forward to the high calling of Christ. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you know you can start today. That's that beginning start of faith. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you will be saved. You confess the Lord Jesus, right? Yes, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. All right? I can't do it on my own. I know that. Will you come and be my Savior? Will you come and lead me into faith? Will you come and show me your righteousness? And guess what he'll do? He'll come. He will show you his righteousness. He will love you while you're right where you're at. And he'll forgive your sin. And he will open a door that no man can shut. He will open a door to understanding, to knowing the one true God. And if you're at that spot and you're ready to do that, we'll do it. I'm not only going to ask you to raise your hand because it ain't none of my business. Right? I'm not going to ask you to come up front because it ain't none of y'all's business. You can get saved. You can get born again right in the chair where you're sitting at. It's nothing to do with me. It's between you and God. Right? If you're a Christian and you know you haven't been walking in the faith that God has called you to, there's only one thing to do. Start.
Amen.
Today is a new day, right? Today is the day of salvation for you. It's the day of obedience for you. It's the time that you get up and say, "Yes, God, not my will, but your will be done in my life." And then you give it to him. You walk in the fullness of grace. You obey what the Bible, what the Spirit tells you to. Alright? And then just wait and see. See what God will do for you, through you. You know? I have a hard time closing sermons. I don't think they should close. I think this is a lifestyle you ought to take up out of your chairs and you bring into the world with you. Alright? Does this say, "Everybody close your Bibles, bow your heads, be the good thing, you know, put your hands together"? No, open your hearts to Jesus. Let him do what he's going to. I'm going to pray for you, and y'all go home. Dear Father, I love you. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your goodness and righteousness. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit being here today, and I pray, Lord, that you have spoken to your church. Father, I pray for the anointing of the power of God for anybody who has any questions that really doesn't know, Father, that you would just pierce their heart, help them to seek you, because you will be found. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray for the people that are here, your church, that you would encourage us to walk by faith this next week. Help us to go into our communities and to love people. Help us to meet the needy where they're at. Help us, Father, not to be self-controlled, but be Spirit-led. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.